podcast uses profanity and topics may be disturbing for some listeners. Listen at your own risk. Welcome back to Hell on Heels podcast. I'm Bryce.
I'm Amanda.
And hello again.
Hi.
Hola.
What is up?
Apparently my blood pressure.
Oh. I don't think that's good.
No.
I mean, for anybody, but especially you.
Yeah, no, not ideal. I've known for a minute. But I just barely got my at-home blood pressure cuff in.
Uh-huh.
I hate it.
Oh. Do you have to wear it, like, all the time?
No, I check my blood pressure twice a day. Unless it was, like, really high in the morning, then I'll do it an extra check.
Yeah.
Probably should have done that today, but it's fine. It wasn't extra high today. It was just... Apparently, I have naturally elevated blood pressure. Didn't know that.
That sounds wonderful.
Learning new things, in case you're wondering.
Congratulations, question mark?
It's something, but, you know, it's fine. It's fine. Sorry, I'm trying to get baby set up with some music while we record. You know? Anyways. Yeah, so I have an at-home blood pressure cuff. It's, I will say, it's pretty fancy. It syncs to an app and everything. I just press a button and then it beeps orange at me because almost every time I have elevated blood pressure.
So it's very fancy and redundant.
It's very fancy and kind of a jerk. I only just got it, so I've only just started, you know, checking everything, mm-hmm. or checking regularly, and I hate it. I hate it so much, and it's fine.
Sorry.
But that
doesn't exactly sound fun.
No, nope. So that's been an adventure. I'm learning that if I've just yelled at the dogs, I'm not taking my blood pressure.
Oh, yeah. I feel like you should take it every time you lay down in bed and breathe for like 10 minutes.
I actually have been trying to do more breathing exercises just to help a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. I'm not good at breathing. You would think that'd be something that comes naturally to people is breathing exercises. I can't do it.
I mean, I hear breathing is wonderful. I hear it's great. It's very good for you. Am I good at it? No. So I feel you.
Yeah, it's not like I can do the breathing. I just can't do it controlled.
Look, I can breathe so well. I can do it without even trying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so there. Yeah, that's been my week. I do have a story to tell you.
Oh, okay. Let me sit up.
Because. Okay. You remember when I told you my dad was coaching my little sister's football team and I called and told him, Dad, remember, they're just little girls.
Uh-huh.
I have reports that he has yelled at the team.
For what?
I think they were whining.
They're 11-year-old, what, 10 and 11-year-old children?
I think they're 11 and 12.
Even worse, they're closer to adulthood.
So,
they have the right to whine.
Yeah, so there was that. My dad told me he actually yelled at one girl specifically because she was getting on his nerves. She wasn't listening.
Oh, well, that might have been my daughter.
I'm pretty sure he told me a name. I just don't include their names because that memory's got to go.
So the did that help?
Apparently it helped with that one girl because she started doing what she needed to.
Okay.
But I'm just letting you know, I had to call and remind him again and be like, Dad, they're little girls. And he's like, it's not like I was yelling at your older brother's team. I get that, Dad. I get that. But hear me out. They're still little girls.
Yeah.
And that I think that was part of it too, is he's like, none of them get along and they're always bickering or whatever. They're mean to each other. Well, girls are mean to each other, Dad. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, like, I hate it, but it is what it is. That's exactly what happens. Girls hate other girls.
Girls hate everyone.
Yeah. Especially at 12.
Yeah. The world sucks at that age.
Yeah, they've got a lot going on.
Yeah, so there's that. And then on top of that, I would like you to know that I am doing my sibling duty for Camille. Because, what was it, Sunday? Oh, that's another thing. That's a whole other story, was Sunday. Was it Sunday? I don't remember. I think it was Easter. Yeah, that would have been Sunday.
Yeah, that'd been, yeah.
I had the time of my life, the highlight of my day, even though I was sick in bed. I just spent the day mocking Camille all day. Just be
happy Easter.
She just thought she was so, so smart. Cause she, I can't remember. She said something like, yeah, I know. And so I was like, yeah, I know. And this is all over text. And she's like, maybe you're copying me. I was like, oh, I was. And now it's going to be real obvious. So she would start sending me just random shit. And I would just copy paste and send it back.
Copy paste, yes.
I don't think she realized that's what I was doing, at least not at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started getting voice memos from her and my nephews at my grandma's house because I didn't go. Boy, was it hectic. But I am doing my sibling duty by mocking her. And I want the world to know, I don't care that she's 11. I'm going to still do it.
You're still siblings.
I don't care. Yeah, we're fine. There might be a 19-year age gap between us. Well, I guess 18 and a half years. But it doesn't matter. As her sibling, I'm going to make sure to mock her.
Do you really think, as a sibling, you're going to get away with something like that just because you were born so much later? That's not how this works.
No, it's not how it works. Sorry, mm-hmm. Camille. You're still going to get mocked. You're still going to get sibling treatment. And part of that is because I didn't have a younger sibling to pick on until she came around.
Look, you have to do it, though, because bickering with your siblings is part of learning how to tolerate people and be tolerable.
Mm-hmm. So, Camille, I'm helping you learn life lessons, okay?
Yeah. Bryce tormenting you is the reason you have friends in school today.
Exactly. I'm going to get a call about this. I also already got a call because when we're recording the episode that last released was 127. And 128 is the one that we talked about us being shellfish, which I maintain. This is our podcast. We can talk about ourselves all we want.
Actually, we can talk strictly about ourselves.
Yes, exactly. Point is, I got yelled at because we were still talking about ourselves in 126. No, 127. And I had to tell Camille, it's because we're ahead on recordings. Maybe not by a lot, but by a couple. Yeah.
So that one was an accident. This one is spite.
Yeah, this one is absolutely spite. So we talked about it the last episode. You guys will, if you listen back, you'll hear it. But I already got chewed out and I was like, Mill, chill. It's coming out. Don't worry. I told your fart story. Okay. Anyways, let me think. What else do I got going on? Not much. Amanda knows this. I had to do a 3-hour glucose test.
Gross.
Oh my, that made me so sick. That's why I was sick on Easter Sunday. I did the test on Saturday, was miserable. Oh God, it was horrible. 10 out of 10, don't recommend.
No, absolutely not. I didn't have to do the 3-hour. I only had to do the one and it still made me sick. So I can't imagine the 3-hour one. Because also, you have to sit at the hospital the whole time.
Yeah, they made me sit there the whole time.
And so counting the appointment, you're really there 3.5-4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's, ugh.
I went in on a Saturday and did it. And so it wasn't too busy. And I went in first thing. Like, they opened and I was, like, knocking on their door. I was like, let me in. I don't want to be here all day. But yeah, I was like, I can't even run across the street to the Target and walk around for 30 minutes and come back. Nope. But they did let me sip on water during that one. So that was a bonus.
Okay. Yeah. That, at least there's that.
Yeah. If you do that, because the 1 hour, they're like, nothing. You can do nothing. But the 3 hour, they're like, we don't want you being dehydrated. You can sip on water. But
yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks. Thanks. My children are very spiteful and they don't enjoy being told no. Mm-hmm.
Gee, wonder who they get that from.
From me. Oh, 1,000% from me. That there's no questions asked about that. That's a Martinez thing. But yeah, that's all my stories right now. That's all my updates. That was, if anyone else out there is having a baby or two, I pray that you don't have to do the 3 hour glucose test. I am praying for you guys, and I'm really scared they're gonna make me repeat it.
Why are you scared? Why? Just because you don't want to have to do it again, or are you legitimately worried about?
No, like I'm legitimately worried they're going to make me do it again because my doctor, they said, we'll talk about it at my next appointment. And I said, oh, okay, we can't talk about it now. And they said, we'll talk about it at the next appointment.
Can you give me a hint?
I already looked at the results. Like the results were posted the same day.
Yeah.
And so from the reading, so basically they do a blood draw before you start to make sure your fasting sugar levels aren't like crazy high or crazy low or whatever. They were good. And then at the 1 hour mark, I passed that one. That was fine. I passed cool. that okay. one. Check. At the 2 hour mark, I did not pass it.
No.
I was over by like two. I'm calling them points. I was over by like 2 points.
You overachieved.
Too much. Actually, that's underachieving. I needed it to go down.
Oh, you underachieved. Okay.
Yeah, I underachieved that time. But I passed the third hour, the third draw.
So I feel like majority should rule in that one.
I would think so, but there's a lot of conflict on everywhere that I look about that. Because there are some people that say my provider didn't care that I failed one. As long as I overall passed, I didn't have to do it again. Others are like, if you fail one, you have to go back and repeat the 3 hour glucose test. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. But I'm hoping, because I'm pretty sure, I mean, I can pull everything up, but I'm pretty sure that I was pretty well like past the threshold. Like I was much lower than the threshold on the 3 hour one. So at the 1 hour mark, I needed to be under 179. I was at 160. At the 2 hour mark, I should have been under 154 and I was at 156. But at the 3 hour mark, I needed to be under 139 and I was at 109.
Oh, that feels really good though.
Right? So that's why I'm like, I'm really hoping they don't make me do it again.
Yeah.
But like I said, there's a lot of conflict and it sounds like it depends on the doctor. And so here we are, just hoping for the best.
I will keep my fingers crossed for you because that call, we'll talk about it at our next visit. That's bad enough. I don't like that.
I think that was just more the nurse just being like, you'll talk about it with the provider at the next visit and her not wanting to do more, but that's kind of not a me problem right now.
Okay.
So anyways, how are you?
It's been sick week here. In the house. Is that better or worse right now? Well, I missed much more work this week than I wanted to. I would say in all, probably a whole day. And I can't work Monday either. I have to take an unpaid day off because the eclipse is Monday. And we are in that line going through Arkansas. That is in totality, which is really cool because I'll be able to go out in the yard and be like, huh, cool. All right. Second one of these I've got to see in my life. Cool beans.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also like, I think our mayor estimated 1.5 million extra people coming in. So it has been stupid. Like the traffic has been out of control. The grocery stores have been out of control. Oh my God, just like driving through town is annoying. So we've been trying not to do that. We did not leave the house today. Bryce, I did not get the mail today. Okay. It's ridiculous. But the daycare is closed Monday, so I'll be home with the kids.
I really love that you're like, I didn't get the mail today. And I'm like, I probably haven't gotten it in 3 days, and it's attached to my fence.
Yeah, like, it's not a long walk to the road, but if I'm not leaving the house, let me be clear, I'm not leaving my pajamas either. The only reason I'm wearing this shirt that is not a pajama shirt is because we're recording, so.
Hold on, but you changed to go check the mail?
No, I didn't go check the mail. I changed to record.
No, you do change, though, to go check the mail. I go in my jammies.
Depends on how I'm feeling. It depends on what kind of pajamas, because most of my pajamas are just, like, super big, ill-fitting shirts. Like, I look like a hobo.
That's fine.
And we live in the middle of town, so I'm like, oh, well.
I'm a hobo on my own property. It's fine.
You know what? You're right. This is our house. I have a mortgage.
Exactly. You pay for it. Why do you need to change to go check your mail that's on your property?
That's a fair point.
So I think you just start looking like a hobo when you go and get your mail.
Hey, maybe it'll get them out of my city, honestly.
Maybe they're like, man, these hobos, unless it does something bad, it's like the hobos here are seeing how well this hobo's doing, and then it brings them into your city.
Oh, yeah, I really don't want to do that.
I doubt that what will happen. They're going to be like, that's what the homeowners here look like? Ooh.
Hey, that's fine by me, because they can't drive anyway, so I kind of want them to leave.
That's fine.
Like, just stupid drivers the whole time.
Okay.
But yeah, Lee, he's sick right now, so I had to leave work. Oh my God, what is today? I had to leave work yesterday, Friday, to go get him. And they, like, squeezed him in at the doctor because he's so congested he wasn't eating.
Mm-hmm.
And the appointment they gave us, we wouldn't have had time for James to bring me back to work and go home. So I just had to tell him, I'm like, hey, I'm really sorry. Yeah, I left everything out. I did lock my drawers and stuff, the money drawers. But I left everything out because I thought I was coming back. I'm not coming back. And he has, like, a cold, and he's congested and not wanting to eat because he can't breathe. And, I mean, according to the doctors, most babies choose to breathe instead of eat. So
he's like, I prefer life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's like, I would prefer to be hungry yet alive.
Okay,
so
that's fair.
And then, what was it? Wednesday, Annie got sick. So I also had to leave work. She's fine, but she normally is like that. So
she's the one that causes the sickness in your house.
Yes. Oh my God. Okay. I remembered what else I was going to tell you. So it was earlier this week. I had a customer, and we very, very often, like, fraud is rampant, guys. Be careful with your debit cards, okay? Your credit cards, be careful. But guy comes in, his car quit working, and a lot of people call us or whatever. But this guy, he was much more honest about it. So he comes in, basically his card's not working, and I pull it up, and it was a dating website. So when I have people and they're, like, standing in front of me, they're not over the phone. When I have people directly in front of me, I'll write it down on, like, a sticky note and be like, this is what it says the charge was from. Did you do this? And he was like, so I scooted it over to him, and luckily he was the only one in the bank at the time, but he's just like, oh yeah, that was my booty call.
All right.
Simple yes or no would work, sir. But so I told him, I was like, okay, cool. I'll get your car turned back on. And then he proceeded to tell me how over 5,000 women have matched with him, and he still got it just because he's old and he had to have open heart surgery. He's still alive. Look, it was really uncomfortable. I don't need that much info.
You don't?
No, I don't. I don't know. What the hell am I supposed to say to that? Good going, sir. You use that heart. You go, Glenn Coco.
You did it, sir.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, he didn't that day because they turned his card off.
Oh.
But, yeah, I had to get it turned back on and put in, like, a ticket so they would not turn it back off when he tried to do it again. Well, when he did do it again. Yeah, so.
So, basically, your bank doesn't trust his booty call website.
I guess so, yeah.
Okay. Cool.
So there's that.
So it sounds like you've had an interesting week at work.
Yeah, it was a week at work. It was a week at work.
Could have been worse. Could have been worse.
I don't want to think of how. I really, really don't.
You could have not gotten a booty call story.
You know what? That's true.
I'm just throwing it out there. You could have not gotten that booty call story, and then you would have been sad.
I still prefer the worm story.
I mean, stories are stories, okay? Look, yeah. The best I get from work is they took us out for food this week.
I would much prefer that to a detailed booty call. Booty call detail? Booty call detail.
Booty call detail. Well, yeah. I think they both sound wrong.
Yeah, I mean, okay, fair. But one sounds more wrong than the other one. I would prefer not to be on either of those lists.
You don't want to have knowledge of the booty call is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
Okay, that's fine. Too late, though.
Fair. Yeah, that's so very true.
All right. Anything else? Any other updates?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Well, do you have anything else? Any other exciting anything?
Nope, just this damn eclipse.
Okay, well, you'll notice that I stopped sending you those videos that are like, this initial is pregnant or hiding stuff from you.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Because now all the initials are B's.
Gee, guys, you think?
I'm like, well, I mean, you're not wrong. I am pregnant. I don't know who I'm hiding it from, but... You're not wrong. So you're welcome. You're welcome. You also never said anything about the one I sent you.
Which that, one? You sent me a couple. The one that's like, what was it? This initial has to poop?
That one was a good one.
That one was a good one. I sent that one to James too.
No.
Like Bryce sent me this.
It was about this initial will get pregnant with twins. And I was like, hey, it's your turn.
No, thank you. Got my trusty, hopefully not rusty, arm bar in there.
God, I hope it's not rusty.
Yeah, that would.
But I just thought you would like to laugh at that. I laughed. I thought it was hilarious. I genuinely laughed because it was after you were like, stop sending me those. And then that one came up and I was like, I have to.
You have to.
I have to.
I get that. I think when I opened it, if I remember correctly, I opened it and I was like, that bitch.
I couldn't not send it to you, you know? Like, I wouldn't be a good friend if I hadn't sent it to you. But
yeah. I agree with that sentiment. I would actually be upset if you had not sent it to me.
Exactly. That's my point, is what would you do without me? Trying to see if I can find it again. It won't be in our TikToks. I almost sent it to you.
Oh my God, but there's so many.
I know. That's kind of the issue. There's so many. And we don't even respond to them. I assume we just watch each other's and then move on with our life.
Yeah, I think so.
It's fine.
Because by the time we look at them, there's always, like, we've sent each other so many TikToks.
Yeah, it's funny because it's almost like you'll go on a sprint of sending me a bunch, and I'll have, like, 20 to look at, and then I'll go on a sprint. And, yeah. Anyways, okay, are you ready to talk about some socials?
I would love to.
Okay. So, guys, we have social media. We've got Instagram, Facebook, Helen Heels Podcast, X Helen Heels Pod. We have our Linktree up and going, Discord up and going. If you want access to any of those, well, I guess if you want to get to any of those, you can go to Instagram, Facebook, X. Linktree also has all the links for all the things. If you just Google Helen Heels Podcast Linktree, we should be the very first one that comes up. If you guys have any suggestions, stories, whatever it is you want to share, you can email us, helenheelspodcast@gmail.com. We also have our Patreon up and going. And then if you guys do enjoy listening to us, we encourage you guys to tell your friends, family, frenemies, situationships, whatever it is, I don't care. Tell them to listen as well so that we can continue releasing these episodes for you and mocking my dad on my time.
But sounds great.
I'm putting it out for the whole universe. But that's all for our social media. Are you ready for a story?
I am. I don't know that I know this one.
Okay. Well, look, this is what happened. Last time I recorded, I said, Amanda, I don't know what to do. Give me ideas. And she turned to James and James said, road rage crimes. And I didn't find road rage crimes. Not that I didn't find them. It's that I found a different vehicle, mode of transportation that we're going to be looking at for this particular case.
Okay.
So Karen Waltz and Scott Roston, they met in about 1986. I don't have an exact date. I also don't have much about their younger days. I don't have much about Karen or Scott Roston's youth. We just know the two would meet and they would fall in love. We know that Scott was a chiropractor, and we know that both Scott and Karen were fitness enthusiasts. Karen was known to have a love of ballet, modern dance, Tai Chi. Some said she would take a daily walk or jog of 10 miles a day to maintain her strength and agility.
Holy crap. Okay.
That's a she's lot like of a miles.
Real athlete.
She's like a genuine athlete, guys.
Yeah.
She's doing something, and it's not what we would do.
Sometimes I walk from my house to the mailbox.
Yeah, that's a lot of work because you got to get ready for that, apparently.
Yeah, I got to put on jeans and take off my comfy clothes. Get out of here.
Gosh, no thank you. And with Karen and Scott both being fitness enthusiasts, we know that this is one thing they really bonded over. And we know that their relationship started in Florida after Scott had taken a tumble down a set of stairs. It's unclear what Scott injured, but in the tumble, he would injure himself to a point that he would need physical therapy. And Karen, being a physical therapist or working for a physical therapy office, she was actually his masseuse that he would go to twice a week as part of.
So he really fell for her.
He really fell for her, yeah.
Oh, what a be cute.
So he would go see her twice a week as part of his physical therapy treatment. The two would get married around February 6, 1988, though I only found one source that stated this. Other sources at the time of the incident will state it happened, they were married for 9 days. And if I math this correctly, 9 days would be February 4th. So they got married sometime in early February.
Okay.
And they would embark for their honeymoon. They did a honeymoon, something Cody and I did. We just did it before the wedding. And they would embark on a cruise ship, the Star Dancer.
Ooh, now that's a name.
That is a name. Yes.
So they went on a cruise.
Yeah, they went on a cruise. It was a 7-day cruise that, from what I found, would embark from California, head to Mexico, return back to California. So they get on, they're having a good old time. But at 3 a.m. on Saturday, February 13th, 1988, sources said this was the final day of their 7-day cruise, tragedy would strike. Scott Roston would inform authorities that Karen had gone overboard. He would tell authorities that he and Karen had been jogging on the ship's jogging track that's outdoors, and winds would pick up. Specifically, they would pick up Karen, and she would be blown overboard.
Stop it. Okay, hold on. I already have an issue with this because I'm skeptical. I don't know this story. I've never heard this story. But Bryce, I've never been on a cruise ship. Okay. You have, James has, he's busy. You're not. Well, I mean, we're doing this. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Is it hard to not even get blown off, but just like, is it hard to fall off a cruise ship?
I would say yes. Keep in mind, this is 1988. So cruise ship standards might have been a little different. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about some things. But I will also say, I've been on, two cruises now? And neither time was it windy enough that I was feeling like I was going to be blown overboard. Not that it's... I see some videos where I'm like, you guys probably should go inside. But I feel like that's common sense. If the winds are that
rough.
See,
that's kind of what I was going to add too. Like, I grew up on the water going fishing and stuff. And go in the ocean specifically. And even like close to the shore, the winds can get pretty rough. But that's when, like you said, you go inside. Mm-hmm. If the winds were strong enough to blow a full grown woman who is athletic, so I would argue potentially weighs more than other people because that's going to be muscle.
She is pretty small. She's only like 5'3". Mm-hmm. So she's pretty small. She might be easier to pick up and blow away.
But I'm really bad at this. I'm guessing somewhere between 120, 150 pounds.
Yeah, at most 150.
If the winds are that strong, why are you in them?
He said they were fine, and then they picked up and picked her up.
Uh-huh. Okay. I guess I should listen to the story before I just immediately call him a dirty, stupid liar.
You're fine. So he tells them, we were jogging, the winds pick up, she's blown overboard. So crew, they do contact Coast Guard, and they also begin their own search for Karen in the waters. Because, woman overboard. But also, they begin investigating Scott and his claims. Okay. According to the ship's crew, they were less than convinced of Scott's story. At the time this happened, everything had been running pretty smooth, including the waters, which had been relatively calm. And the wind velocity for the night had been no more than 5 miles per hour.
Are you sure it wasn't all the hot air coming out of his big, stupid face?
Oh, you're so wound up, and we're not even... This is his first story.
Oh, my God. First story! There's more than one story. Okay.
Okay.
His mustache is ugly, too, by the way. Okay. But okay.
So, really, the winds are not anywhere near strong enough to blow an entire human off of the ship. Like, 5 miles per hour...
That's not gonna blow a cup off the ship. Come on.
Exactly.
God.
So they're like questioning him, and part of this is it's explained like, hey, do we have a murderer on board, or is this true? So they're like, okay, I don't think the winds picked up and just blew her away because it just wasn't likely. Apparently not. It's a Wendy's.
Yeah, you get it.
Yeah. But don't worry, because Scott Roston, he had some clarifying moments in his story. Karen had not just been picked up by the wind and blown off. She had actually fallen overboard. Wind pushed her, whatever. And Scott, in his attempt to grab her, he tried to rescue her. He just happened to fail. Now, keep in mind, Karen, she's not a tall woman. She was 5'3". And the railing, would you like to guess how tall the railing was?
He was 5'3", and the wind supposedly blew her 4'6".
Not quite. It was 3'6".
Damn. Wow. So,
I think the railings are higher now. So I feel like when I was right here on the railings. But either way.
But that's still over half her height.
That's what I was going to say. That's over half of her height.
And she just... dilly-dally stumbled over it in his... Okay, when he said he tried to help and he wasn't able to, did he mean, like...
She gave her a boost? She fell over and she grabbed the rail trying to save herself, and then he was trying to help get her back over to the safe side.
Mm-hmm.
But he failed.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So, not only is Scott's story just not making a lot of sense, right?
Yeah.
But Scott had also shown up to report his wife of 9 days with gouges and a four-inch scratch on his face. So he comes banged up himself to say, hey, my wife is missing.
Did the wind do that too?
Well, the gouge on his face happened to be triangular. Coincidentally, that could match a certain someone's pear-shaped engagement ring. When questioned about the injuries, he would tell the crew that he hit his head on a gangway control box in his attempt trying to, like, while he was trying to help his wife.
He hit his head and scratched it? Or mm-hmm. I guess gouged. Like, it sounds like if it's an engagement ring and or whatever the hell you just said, a gangway box or something.
A control box.
Mm-hmm. So it was pretty deep.
I mean, it was enough that it was noticeable. And
nothing superficial.
Right.
Okay.
So you know what officers do? The logical thing. They go to that box.
Perfect. And there's skin and blood tissue and stuff on it, right?
They found no blood, no hair, no marks of any sort on that gangway box. In fact, they determined the gangway box didn't have any sharp protrusions on it that would cause injuries like what Scott was presenting with.
Huh. Okay. So what's his excuse now?
He maintains he hit his head on a gangway box.
Okay.
So now after the crew has, you know, they've searched for Karen, they've already called in the Coast Guard for assistance. They're just trying to figure out what is going on. 10-ish hours later, the Coast Guard would find Karen's body in the waters about 30 miles southwest of San Diego. So they found her that same afternoon on February 13th, same day that she was reported missing. She was reported missing at 3 a.m. They had found that her body had been kept afloat, which actually helped them to find her, but it had been kept afloat by air that was caught in her clothing that made it so her body remained floating.
Okay.
So they recovered her and they examined her body, and it was determined that her cause of death was drowning. But medical examiners note that had Karen attempted to swim upon entering the water, any air in her clothes would have been forced out.
I was going to ask that, how that kind of worked, because even uh-huh. I mean, if there was air in her clothes, she could have just floated, right, and just like worked to keep her head above water
potentially, but in like a panic state. Can you imagine going overboard on a boat and not trying to swim?
Oh hell no, especially not in the middle of the night either.
Exactly. And in the middle of the Jesus. ocean.
Yeah,
so
fair point.
You know, they basically say there's no way if she attempted to swim at any point, would there have been air in her clothing? They would essentially say that they believe that she had entered the water while unconscious.
Okay.
So upon further examination, they also found signs of a hemorrhage on her neck and eyes, or in her neck and eyes, warping in her neck bones. And this showed evidence of manual strangulation.
Warping in the neck bone?
Mm-hmm.
That, oh my God, that made me nauseous. I didn't know that was
a thing.
I've never heard of that injury. Yeah.
Neither
I'm
had I.
My neck now.
Yeah. So it showed evidence of manual strangulation. They also found material from the jogging track had been embedded in her clothing. And this suggested that she had been pressed quite aggressively and with a great amount of force into the deck.
So she was not literally blown off the deck. She was thrown onto it.
I think he might be using, you know, things that rhyme with thrown, blown.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm not sure at this point. I mean, I know what happens, but you're not sure at this point.
I think we're all pretty sure.
Oh, it gets better.
Perfect.
So at this point, the crew, they're like, okay, well, we were trying to determine if this was an accident or if there's a murderer on board. And it's looking like there's a murderer on board.
So he went from, sorry, you can go back to your room, to we'll escort you back to your room.
He went from, you're going to stay here while we question you, to you're going to remain here until you're detained. Just 11 and a half feet away from the railing, parts of Karen's earrings were found, and also strands of her hair, which looked to have been yanked from her head, were found as well.
Did he even try?
Clearly, he tried. She was blown off, and he tried to save her.
Oh.
If you guys didn't catch, there was a lot of sarcasm there. Anyways, at this point, the crew knows, like, they're like, okay, we need to keep investigating and dive deeper. Keep in mind, ships have, like, an officer. Like, this is someone actually investigating, trained to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And they begin asking other passengers about the honeymooners, Scott and Karen. And they talk to one person who actually shared a table with them. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but I know on cruises that Cody and I have been on, just the two of us, we had to share a table with other couples. So, like, our dinner time table, it wasn't just me and him. There were, I mean, depending on which one, there were a couple of other people there.
I mean, I've heard that. It makes sense. You know, there's only so much space.
Mm-hmm. Whereas the cruise that I went on with my family, like, we had a table, but we were a much larger party.
People. Gotcha.
Yeah.
So since it was just the two of them, they sat with other people. And I'm guessing this investigator got the tea.
Well, this person would say, yeah, I heard a little spat between this couple. He or she, I don't have a name for them, but they heard Scott Roston had been very angry with Karen because she was eating sweets.
Pardon me? Okay.
Uh-huh. She also did not know which utensils to use from the fancy dining setup. I don't know how fancy of a ship this was. I will tell you, the ships I've been on, there is no confusion, okay?
I mean, but I would not know what to do either.
If there are three forks in front of me, I'm grabbing whichever one works, okay?
If I had to guess, like, if you put three forks in front of me and you were like, okay, you eat your sweet desserts with this one, I guarantee you I'm going to pick the wrong one because I'm picking the biggest fork down there to shovel them sweets into my gullet, okay? And it's probably the smallest.
I'm just telling you, he was pretty upset that she did not know her silverware etiquette and that she was eating sweets. I mean, they're fitness enthusiasts. And he's like, how dare you?
Okay, you can be a fitness enthusiast and a carb enthusiast or a sugar enthusiast. It's called a cheat day.
They're on vacation.
Yes.
You can indulge. And this
is real early in the marriage to be showing your color, sir.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I dare Cody to say shit about my dessert intake. I'd be like, oh, waiter. Which by that point, I'd probably know their name. I'd be like, oh, sir, madam, whatever your name is, bring me two more desserts, please. Full eye contact with Cody the entire time.
The other day, just yesterday, actually, James and I got into an argument about cookies at Walmart. Was it a big argument? No. Was it about not getting them? No, it was about what flavor to get. Because we are cookies and ice cream people, okay? Mm-hmm. I dare someone to take that away from me.
Exactly. I dare Cody to say, you need to slow down on the sweets.
You want to slow down on your life, sir?
Would you like to slow down your breaths right now? Because I can make that happen.
This is life in the fast lane, okay?
You're playing fast and loose with the rules here, sir. And I don't think, for all we know, she could have been, you know, at that time of month for her and the sweets were her craving.
Yes.
If Cody were to look at me right now and be like, no more sweets, I'd be like, well, these are my babies. We're leaving.
Yeah. No, I'm not going anywhere. You get out, but also keep paying the mortgage.
Legally, I'm not on the mortgage, so I'm out. His problem now. Yeah,
I'm not either, and I don't understand that. I'm not on the mortgage, but I'm on the loan.
I'm not on either. But no. Cody had the house before I met him, so.
Oh, okay.
It's a different story. But you know what I mean? Like, I'd be like, I've got two babies in me, and you think I'm going to slow down on the sweets?
Not happening.
Bite me.
I've got two kids under three. I live on sweets. Don't take that from me.
Cody and I actually watched a documentary on this, and I'm pretty sure. And in that documentary, they changed the name. So it was kind of hard to find the right names on this.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm pretty sure when we watched it, I said, Cody, I dare you. There will be full eye contact as that next bite goes in my mouth.
Mm-hmm. And the fork's down at this point. It's fistfuls.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so that was the argument the first person heard. Another person would come forward and state they had seen a, quote, quarrel between Scott and a woman on deck. And they witnessed this about 45 minutes to an hour prior to Karen being reported overboard.
Not looking good, mustache.
I mean, and some reports did state the person that reported this was an employee. Like, they were going around checking decks. Kind of like,
right.
They weren't security, but they were just checking things out. I don't really know. Some didn't.
I don't know what you do on a boat, but they were making their rounds.
Yeah, they were doing what they needed to.
Okay.
So at this point, authorities have a pretty clear idea that a certain someone is lying. And Ooh. Karen Waltz is a homicide or a murder case. So the ship docks in Long Beach. And with all of this information, Scott Rostin is arrested in Long Beach, California.
No.
What?
That's crazy. So shocking.
Scott is held there by federal authorities on suspicion of the murder of his wife, Karen Waltz. And I will say most sources refer to Karen as Karen Rostin. I'm going to go by her maiden name, Waltz, because I feel like 9 days is not enough for us to call her a Rostin. It's fine. So Scott Rostin, he's now in custody, and he has a new, very bizarre version of events.
Oh my God. Okay.
I'm going to give him a solid B for creativity on this one and A for stupidity. you can grade him afterwards. That's my grade. Okay. Now, for this version of events, we got to go back in time a little bit, specifically to 1978.
Stop it. Okay.
So 10 years prior, he doesn't even know Karen at this point. So Scott Rostin and his parents, they reportedly emigrated to Israel, though some say they were just going to visit. So that's very unclear. However, I feel like if they were going to visit, Scott Rostin wouldn't have opened an unlicensed chiropractic clinic in Israel.
Okay, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. So he opens this unlicensed clinic. He is living out life until 1979, when he is reportedly arrested and held for more than 2 months in jail and in a mental hospital. And during this time, he would claim that he was brutalized, beaten, drugged, all the things. Now, he claims he was arrested after refusing to marry his neighbor's niece. He even rejected their bribery. He was like, I will not marry this girl. No.
Because he's such an upstanding man.
Yes. So that led the Israeli mafia to set him up. And the Israeli mafia would falsely accuse him of beating up and robbing a member of his neighbor's family.
Okay. What the hell does this have to do with any... Oh, wait a minute. Okay.
You just connected dots.
I see where we're going here.
Okay, hold on. We're not done yet. So he's like, all of this happens. I was like, the government's involved and all of this stuff and blah, blah, blah. After he's released and they immigrate back to the U.S., Scott Rostin, he would write a book about his experience in Israel. No, I did not read the book because I don't support him in any way. So I wasn't going to purchase it. I also questioned how factual it was.
What?
It's his retelling of what happened to him in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really trust the things he says or writes. So I'm like, I don't really know how factual these claims are in your
book. I don't know, man. He's he seems pretty
trustworthy. Yeah. He seems like something else. So this book, the title is Nightmare in Israel. It was published in early 1987. Now, after the book is published, there's a police report from Palm Beach, Florida, that are actually from Rostin's parents. They would report an attempted kidnapping of their son outside of a shopping mall. So according to Scott Rostin, two Israeli men in a white van would grab him. They would reportedly say in Hebrew, Israel wants you. Somehow, Scott was able to escape. And during the escape, he would manage to shoot one of his assailants. And the men would speed off. And as far as Roston states, the men blew their chance to get him. And he speeds off and goes home, tells his parents all the fun stuff. So his parents, from what I understood, did not witness this happen. He came to them and they called it in.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the backstory for this new version of events of how Karen went overboard. Now, his new version is that Israeli agents had killed Karen in retaliation for the book that he had published. And he knew for a fact there were two Israeli people on the ship. So it wasn't him, but it was them that killed her.
Okay. And first off, you know what? The creativity's there. I'll give you that.
Hold on. I gave him a B for creativity because I feel like he used that creativity in 87 and then was just grasping at straws.
He was like, you know what? I wrote this book, and since it's in print, obviously it's true. Is this book labeled fiction or nonfiction, I wonder?
I didn't even look it up, honestly.
Oh, I did look it up. It has 1.8 out of 5 stars on Amazon.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I wasn't going to buy it, so it didn't matter.
Just saying, does not have good reviews. But either way, like, I don't know. Yeah, I would agree with the stupidity.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I gave him a B because I was like, I feel like you've already used this. Just a thought. A for stupidity, because clearly I don't believe shit he says. Some reports claim that his version of events was changing because he believed that the Israeli men had drugged him, and so his perspective of things kept changing as it became more clear of what happened, according to him and some sources. Other sources don't state anything about why he kept changing his story.
Because he's a dirty, dumb liar.
And yes. But let's just say authorities, they didn't buy this version of events. And
trial. That's shocking.
I know, right? And trial would begin in February of 1989. So the following year. And Scott Roston, he was charged with second degree murder. Now, I personally believe that Scott Roston's defense team, they had their work cut out for him. Or for them.
Yeah, I would say so as this, well.
This team's like, you're going to stick with the Israeli story.
That team was not hired. They were appointed and they're not happy about it. Guarantee it. I know nothing about the story, but I would put money on that fact.
They were like, okay, I guess we lean into this. I don't know what else to do. He's not giving us anything. And in his defense team's opening statement, defense attorney David Kenner would note that there were two Israeli men aboard the Star Dancer. And while Roston's claims may seem far-fetched, the jury should have an open mind. And they need to believe that, quote, these kinds of things do happen in the world of international intrigue.
First of all, I don't need to believe anything. This is my choice. And it's your job to make me believe these things. So chop chop, sir.
He's just saying, have an open mind.
Don't tell me what to do.
Well, he was telling the jury, don't worry about it.
Oh, I've never been on one of those. Oh,
neither have I.
Is that believable?
Anyways, so prosecution, they're like, okay, we're coming in and we're looking at medical evidence, testimony. Like, we're looking at all of what we can find. And so they talk about the evidence and they say, you know, it very much looks like that pear-shaped ring, engagement ring, caused a little bit of a gouge on someone's face. And Karen was clearly beaten and strangled. And they very much, they brought in the passengers that had witnessed the fights with the newlyweds. They did, like, the prosecution was like, we've got everything. Now, the defense, they don't really argue with the prosecution about, like, the medical evidence or the testimonies. Instead, they only introduced the evidence that there were two Israeli men aboard the ship when Karen had gone overboard. Again, keep an open mind, jury. Maybe unicorns and flying pigs are next. I don't know.
I changed my mind. His attorney did not believe him. His attorney wanted him to go to jail.
His attorney was just like, I don't know what else to do.
It sounds like they did absolutely nothing. They were like, well, they've got all this info, but there were two Israeli guys on board.
Yeah.
Like.
And you know what, though? The prosecution was prepared because on the prosecution's rebuttal, they really throw a wrench in the image that the defense painted of the Israeli men. Because prosecution would call to the stand Maurice Haziza. One of the two Israeli men that was being accused of Karen's murder by Scott and the defense. And Maurice would testify and state he was not a secret agent for the Israeli government. But would he tell us, though?
I mean, that's exactly what a secret agent for the government would say.
I'm sure that's what the defense came back with. That sounds like something a secret agent would say.
Like, when you were training as a secret agent, that is the first thing they learn.
Yeah. Yes.
When someone says, are you a secret agent? You say, no.
No.
Cool. You pass that test, on to the next one. And then they teach you to breathe underwater or something.
Yeah, yeah. So he's like, Maurice is over here like, no, I am not a secret agent. In fact, he's like, I'm a wedding photographer. I'm just on vacation.
Oh my God. Ooh. I love it. He's like, no, I don't work for the government. I actually just watch people love each other. And by the way, they didn't.
Yeah. So he and his travel buddy, Emil Yaren, I'm sorry if I'm saying that wrong, but Emil, they had actually just made kind of a whole vacation out of a job. So Maurice had completed taking photos for a friend's wedding. And afterwards, Maurice and Emil, they went to Disneyland, Universal, and then got on this 7-day-long cruise ship.
Why not? Oh my God. And then they got drugged to court. These poor men.
So from what I understood, Maurice, he actually volunteered. He was like, no way. And he was like, I am testifying. I'm here. He came forward to the prosecution and was like, I am not involved. I would like to clear my name here. Not happening. So he's like, I just took pictures for a friend's wedding. I bet you anything, he showed him the pictures and was like, look how beautiful.
He's like, here, look, the date's at the bottom.
Exactly. Though they didn't have digital cameras. So, you know, difference is there. But he was like, we were just on vacation. Like, I bet you anything, someone saw us at Disneyland Universal, and plenty of people saw us on the cruise ship. So, highlights of trial right there. Now, if the jury kept open minds, I'm not sure. Maybe they were just reasonable people. But they do not buy the story that these Israeli men were involved in any way, shape, or form. And they throw this espionage theory just out. They're like, no, this is far too far-fetched. Like, no.
You know what the problem was? Please tell me they tried to get this thrown out and said that he wasn't, like, it wasn't a jury of his peers or something.
No.
Oh, because they were clearly way smarter than he was.
Yeah. Yeah, no. He's ridiculous. So, he is found guilty. Scott Rostin is found guilty of second-degree murder of Karen Waltz. So,
good.
He is sentenced to life in prison without parole.
Cool. Okay.
Of course, Scott and his attorneys, they attempt to appeal. First appeal would be that the court failed to give clear instructions to the jury so that they could find Scott guilty of lesser charges, such as voluntary manslaughter. Now, essentially...
Did he use the same lawyers?
I'm not sure on that one.
Okay.
Because there was also a part of the appeal saying he had requested a different legal representation.
Okay.
Before the trial, and that was denied. He never got new representation. So I don't know who's doing these appeals. But essentially they were like, the jury could have found him guilty of voluntary manslaughter if they had found sufficient evidence that the victim, Karen Waltz, had provoked Scott enough that a reasonable person would have killed her. Which let me just say, I don't care how much someone provokes me. I don't know that I would be able to kill someone.
Maybe this says a lot about who we are. That's not even the first thing that came to my mind. The first thing that came to my mind was you said reasonably provoked him. Uh-huh. Eating sugar and not knowing what fork to use, that is not something that would provoke a reasonable person.
Okay, so that's actually my next bullet, because the Court of Appeals or the Appellate Appeal, I don't know how to say it, Appellate Court. Appellate, that one, yeah.
Okay.
The appellate court, they're like, there's no evidence to prove like that, you know, that first of all, there's no reasonable way that her eating sugar and not knowing what silverware to use provoked this. Like, no reasonable person would say that was a provocation. But they would go on to say that this isn't the appellate court. This is attorneys. They're like, there's no evidence to prove that the scratch to his face and the gouge to his face wasn't reasonable enough for them to reduce the charges. Part of this could be that they were like, who struck first? Was he defending himself and it got out of hand? Was it something else? Blah, blah, blah. Did she attack him first or did he attack her first? There's no proof of that, right?
Right.
So the appellate court, they're like, we have no way to prove that the scratch to his face was reasonable enough for this to be reduced to voluntary manslaughter.
Okay.
So his
I'll second... I'll give him, like, that's a good argument on their end, but you have to prove that, right?
Yeah, correct. And his second degree murder conviction would stand. They're like, not playing with that. But there would be some changes to his sentencing. The court, they would note that the life sentence followed guidelines for that of a first degree murder case or a first degree murder conviction, not a second degree murder conviction. Because remember, first degree, that implies intent. Premeditation.
You're right. Sorry.
Intent, premeditation, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So in November of 1994, Scott Rostin, he would be resentenced to a term of 33 years and 9 months. Now, if I mathed this correctly, Scott Rostin, he was born in 1951. I don't have an exact day. I just know he was born in 51. And if he is released after 33 years and 9 months, he would be around 70 years old at the time of his release. From what I could find, he is still in prison. All of his appeals at this point have failed, rightfully so. I will begrudgingly note, that almost every source would show Scott Rostin as Dr. Scott Rostin. Yeah. But I don't give a shit about his accomplishments. We can just drop the doctor portion and call him a douche canoe instead. Like, his accomplishments mean shit at this point.
Don't doctors have to take a Hippocratic oath too?
A medical doctor. He was a chiropractor, so I don't know how that...
No, I don't know if that's how a medical that doctor or not. But yeah, either know. Way, that's the opposite of what you're supposed to do, sir. So...
All that means is he got his doctorate in something.
Yeah.
Like, you can get your doctorate in anything and be like, I'm a doctor, you know? Mm-hmm. Think about, like, Big Bang Theory. None of them are medical. Mm-hmm. For those of you that watch the Big Bang Theory or have watched, none of them are medical doctors. They have a doctorate in their field of study.
I'm going to get a doctorate in something really dumb. How do I do that?
Cryptozoology.
Yes. I said something dumb, Bryce.
Okay, well, I just meant like some... I was thinking usefulness. I don't know how useful cryptozoology is for the rest of the world, but for us, it's great.
I'm going to look that up.
Anyway, so I wanted to note that. So again, at this point, Scott Rostin, he is still in prison from what I could find. No plans on being released anytime soon. No updates there. I did want to mention the ship would eventually end up under the ownership or the umbrella of Royal Caribbean. And Royal Caribbean's like the parent company. From what I understood, it was part of the Viking cruise line. And the ship would eventually, after going through a couple different cruise lines, it would eventually be renamed to MS Island Escape. Unfortunately, in 2018, after the ship became beached, it was sold for scrap. And also, unfortunately, this was not the only murder aboard the ship.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh. That's a story for another time. That is the tragic death of Karen Waltz. Again, most sources did refer to her as Karen Roston.
So, did you say, did I miss it? When is his sentence up?
I did not actually look it up because there's not a lot of recents on him. Like, I cannot find hardly anything. He was sentenced in 89, but I assume that the year in jail that he was already there. I guess that would have been 2021. I didn't see anything about him being released.
That's what I was going to ask. Well, hopefully he's not. That would be great.
I don't know if he's even alive still. I could even not better. Find anything about it. It was even actually better. Kind of hard to find information about this case. Like I said, a lot of them are, like, I struggled just to find the correct names for these people. Like, a lot of them were just not showing the correct name.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I don't even know. I couldn't even find enough to be like, I don't know.
I understand that, like, but it also really frustrates me.
Uh-huh. Yep. I absolutely hated this. I hated that I couldn't find anything about him. I couldn't find if he was alive, still in jail, nothing.
So he's definitely not writing more books.
No. But I mean, a 1.8 out of 5 stars probably killed him. He's probably like, these guys.
I feel so bad for him.
I mean, I don't, but that's fine.
Do you want to talk about someone else?
I don't want to say a less horrifying story because I know your topic today, mm-hmm. but maybe less brutal. I don't know.
Less brutal. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm doing haunted dolls. I'm doing 2 of them. I think this one's kind of cute actually. So, no. Do you want the cute one first or the creepy one first?
I would like to sleep tonight. So start with the creepy one.
Cool. Okay. Skip down a little bit. So that's perfect actually, because that's how the pictures ended up. We're going to talk about Mandy, which is what my family calls me, my family and my oldest friends, before I started going by Amanda. Mandy is at the Quesnel Museum in Quesnel, British Columbia. You can visit. One source claimed that her name was Marianda, or Mandy for short. She was donated in 1991, and she was said to be 91 years old when she was donated. So Mandy's been around for a hot minute. She's a porcelain doll.
I'm
going to
tell you, I am so uncomfortable looking at Mandy for some reason.
Cool. We're going to get into that, actually.
I just changed the screen so I didn't have to look at her. It's not her. It's something about her, okay?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to get to that. So, she is a porcelain doll. She has glass eyes and cracks on her face. She's wearing a white dress and a bonnet and white little boots or shoes. And according to an interview with a woman named Elizabeth, who works in archives at the museums, that I watched, and it was dated just last October of 2023. The woman who donated the doll got it from her grandmother while she was like helping her clean house and maybe like tidy some stuff up, get rid of some stuff. And her grandma was like, oh, you have a daughter now. You should give her my doll. And the lady was like, yeah. And then she donated it to the museum instead. Okay. Other stories, other stories go a little deeper. It's been said that before the grandmother gave it to the woman, Mandy had been locked in a trunk for years, and the grandmother allegedly told her that when she played with Mandy, bad things would happen. It was also said that the woman donated the doll because her daughter was young and the doll was fragile. And the daughter gave her a weird feeling.
Okay, well, so I don't feel bad about closing it now because other people are like, just a little uncomfortable.
It is very, very common. Yeah, a lot of people are really uneasy in her presence.
Like I said, Mandy, it's not you. It's something. I'm just intimidated, I guess. I don't know.
I think she's great. Like, I would have her. I think she's great. James probably would not let me have her.
But I think.
Would you let me bring this doll in the house?
No.
Quick.
Good. No. Quick. Like, I'm going to have to text him and be like, do not allow her to bring anything into the house. She's not allowed to start choosing decorations. Just, you got to be with her to make sure.
Oh, no. I buy things online. So, like, the headless doll that I got Annie, which is cute and tasteful. Okay. It's just a doll with no head.
I love that you're like, it's cute and tasteful.
It absolutely is. It's not like gory. It's just a doll without a head. Period. Her name's Meredith. She's great. So after Mandy was donated, she made her presence known immediately. Will you do that while you're looking at Mandy? She's getting she's putting her blood pressure cuff on.
I was getting ready to do some breathing, but I can if you would like me to do it.
I mean, it would be interesting. For science.
Okay, it does take a minute, so let me pull the picture back up.
Okay, I'll keep reading while you're... Mandy made her presence known, like, from the get-go. So it is procedure for the museum to put donated items in a sealed plastic bag. That way, if any insects are, like, hitchhiking, they will die because, you know, air. So while she was sealed in this bag...
You mean insects need air, too?
I think, like, a lot of things do. But definitely bugs. They need it, too.
Weird.
Yeah. So while maybe...
136 over 89 with Mandy up.
Is that high?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's orange, so...
So you're in trouble.
Yeah.
It is orange, yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably dying right now.
Oh, okay.
So I'm so sorry, Mandy, but I do need a different page and to do some some breathing exercises. Also, I probably was moving around a lot when I was doing that, too. So I was fidgety because I was uncomfortable.
Ah, okay. I guess we'll let it slide then.
Okay.
While Mandy was in the bag, staff said that she changed positions by herself. And they would hear
actually
the bag.
The bugs. The bugs were moving her around.
I didn't see that there were any bugs that come off of her or out of her.
They're probably still in her. They're like, we don't need oxygen. They're probably like cockroaches or something.
Don't those need, pretty sure they need oxygen.
Yeah, but they can live through a lot.
That's true. Everything but Raid. I mean, they can survive like 10 days without a head before they die of starvation. Did I ever fact check that? No, now that I say it out loud, but I did hear it a lot growing up.
I'm just saying, if there are any bugs, it's going to be a roach.
I hate the flying ones.
Oh, yeah.
I pistol whipped one at work before. When I did inventory at Walmart, because we had like the little inventory guns and it flew at me and I was defenseless other than that inventory gun. So I just smacked it out of the air.
Might as well. Your life comes first.
I was fighting for my life, Bryce.
I didn't argue. I said your life comes first.
It does. They fly. Oh my God. Oh, anyway. She was in the bag alone, and she changed positions, and they heard it rustling when nobody was near it. She was photographed, and they left her in the lab overnight. And when they got back in the morning, the workers said that the place was trashed. And it looked like a small child had a temper tantrum and just kind of, like, threw stuff, pushed stuff off tables. That, to me, sounds like a cat, but also, yeah, I could see a child.
Sounds like someone had a little rendezvous in the office.
It sounds like she kind of partied, really. At one point, Mandy was given a little small stuffed lamb that you can see in the photos to keep her company. And one day they found it on the ground outside her locked case. So not sure how that happened. But I guess they gave it back to her because she still has it. Maybe they had an argument. Other sources said that after Mandy arrived at the museum, lunches would go missing from the fridge and be found in random drawers. Pens, photos, books, and even display items would just go missing, and some have never been found. And staff members hear tapping coming from the glass when no one's near it.
Oh, I hate that. Also, after not looking at Mandy, my blood pressure did go down.
Are you serious? What is it now?
127 over 87.
Is it still orange?
Yeah, it's still orange because that's still considered high. But
yeah,
I'm just letting you know.
According to an article on the Claremont Sun, I don't know how to say that. The museum brought in a psychic to visit Mandy. And according to that psychic, Mandy is occupied by a girl who died after getting trapped in her basement. And she was holding Mandy when she died, so her spirit transferred to the doll. After the psychic's report, the curator visited the woman who had donated Mandy. And she told her the story about her daughter was not true. Claremont Sun, they say this woman claimed that while she had Mandy, she would hear baby crying in her basement. And when she went down, she didn't have a baby. So when she goes downstairs to investigate, all she found was an open window and Mandy.
Nope. No, thank you.
And this was a regular occurrence. It happened more than once. But after she donated Mandy to the museum, it stopped. And she didn't have that problem anymore. She never heard the baby again. In April of 1999, Mandy was a special guest on the Montel Williams show. And while on the show, she met Montel and Sylvia Brown. Sylvia Brown was a psychic writer and medium who was ridiculously popular in the 90s. She was like Long Island medium before Long Island medium. Sylvia said that the doll had belonged to twin girls who died of polio. And their mother was so heartbroken over the loss of her children that her mother's energy was actually transferred to the doll. And that's why people pick up on this feeling when they're around or looking at Mandy. In that interview I talked about earlier, the curator basically was like, yeah, people are uncomfortable, but look at her. Which I was like, that's kind of harsh.
Look, I'm sorry. It's something about her presence. It feels like she's looking into my soul, and that's what makes me uncomfortable.
I feel like it's the cracks in her face.
Because very well could be. I don't know.
They almost like spiral out of the one eye.
I'm not even looking again. That's how anti-Mandy I am right now, but that's because of how high my blood pressure was. And I took those readings minutes apart. So my doctor's going to be like, why are you taking it within like 2 minutes of each other?
Oh, wait, do they see every one of them or do you just track them?
I just track them because it has an app tied to it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Just put a note in there and be like, Mandy the doll. Oh, that sucks.
I could have just not imported the one, but I was like, for funsies.
Just have the drive ready. And she's like, what is this? Just show her the picture.
This was the 137 or 136 reading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is when I stopped looking at that photo.
Yeah. I did a centering breath or two and then stopped. Yeah.
Look, you're the one that went to school for a long time and has a doctorate. You tell me what that is.
She's going to be like, you're an idiot. Please put that away. And then she's going to proceed to call me fat again. It's fine.
You're supposed to be.
I know. That's why I'm fine with it. Granted, she does this is a sidetrack. She does the measurement of my stomach. And last time she was like, yeah, 33 centimeters. I was like, what should it be? And it was like 25 or something like that.
For twins though?
No, for a singleton, it's 25. So,
well, that doesn't count.
She also, only gives me comparisons to a singleton.
She needs to make up her mind, because first she said you didn't weigh enough. And now she's like, oh, well, that's a big old belly. I'm doing what you said, ma'am.
They're not complaining about my weight anymore. They are, however, complaining about my blood pressure. So.
Well, it's probably because they spent so long complaining about your weight.
Now it's spiked. Now I have to take aspirin for it. Anyways, go on.
Yeah, people do not share your sentiments. A lot of people visit the museum just to see Mandy. She's pretty popular. She's been called the most famous doll in Canada, and more specifically, the most famous doll in Quizno. She has
Quizno?
Quizno? Quizno, right?
I thought you said Quizno. Quizno.
Oh, eat Quizno subs!
Yeah, that's what I thought, and I was like, wait. Wait just half a second. Okay.
No. Damn it, now that weird commercial is going to be stuck in my head.
It's not my fault. I was like, wait, what?
Quiznel. Canada is like, what the hell are y'all talking about? Mm-hmm. So, she's pretty popular. She has a scrapbook people can look at. There's video clips of her TV appearances. When they get there, the most common report is a strange feeling or a bad feeling. So no, you are not alone at all. People claim that when they take photos of Mandy, the pictures don't come out clear, even when every other photo that was taken at the museum were fine. And this claim dates more back to when you had to actually develop your photos.
That's because whoever was developing it was like shaking in whatever solution they put, because they're like, oh god, that's terrifying. I'm uncomfortable.
What the hell is that?
I don't know if that's how that works, but that's what I'm envisioning.
Oh, it was a Polaroid and they shook it. That's what happened.
Oh, they shook it like, they didn't shake it right. They were doing side to side, not back and forth.
Yeah.
Okay.
One man who recorded his visit said that he was unable to record Mandy, but he had no issues anywhere else in the museum. A reporter who had taken photos of Mandy was developing them in a basement lab when he heard footsteps upstairs, only to find no one there. And when he returned to his project, his machine jammed, and he said he never had any issues with this machine.
Well, you do now.
And more often now, electronics, the batteries are drained in her presence. Mandy loves an electronic, let me tell you. She loves some batteries. People say her eyes follow you as you move around the room, and she blinks at you when you're not looking. How do you know? If you're not looking at her, how do you know she blinks?
Maybe someone else sees a blink. Like, if she was looking at you, but I was looking at her looking at you, she blinked, and I went, Amanda, let's get the hell out of here.
I would be like, yeah, okay, I'm done. I saw her, cool, nice to meet you, I'm leaving. I'm Mandy, I gotta go.
I'd be like, she blinked. She 1,000% blinked at you. I don't know what that means, but we're out. Okay, get out of here.
Well, people also claim that her fingers move. And this does not look like a doll that would have movable fingers.
I have to go look.
Yeah, they look like just...
They look like they're made of the
stationary.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah, like they don't move.
Yeah. They
like Barbie hands. Well, I think we've had this conversation before. Like the old school Barbie hands, the original ones, without the creepy joints.
Well, I was going to say it looks like it's probably some sort of either like a porcelain or a vinyl or something where it's set in place.
It is porcelain. That's a good... Yeah, that is a good thing. A good call. I said that earlier and that just completely went out of my head. I'm good at explaining things. I'm so good with words.
Hey, if it makes you feel better, I apparently just didn't listen because I don't remember you saying porcelain.
Okay, cool. We're good.
It's probably when I was looking at her picture and I was terrified.
And you just stopped reacting. You stopped being able to...
And my ears turned off for a few seconds.
Mm-hmm. Not your eyes, though.
Unfortunately. I mean, I could have turned them off. I could have just gone like this.
Just taking your glasses off? Yeah.
Yep, I could have turned them off, but I did not.
Mandy has also been said to move by herself to other display cases. One woman claimed that she went to visit Mandy, and when she got home, her house had been robbed. They had broken into it, and the only thing missing was a porcelain doll.
Was this woman married?
That was unclear.
Look, it's a significant other or someone that was like, either I love this porcelain doll, I want it, or they were like, get this creepy thing out my house.
They were like, I know where she's going today. This is my opportunity.
Yeah.
Also, I really hate that window. I'm going to smash it.
Uh-huh.
In August 2002, the Quesnel Caribou Observer ran a story about a paranormal team who had investigated Mandy in the past. Paranormal road trippers, Mike and his girlfriend Sandra, along with a team, investigated in 2015. And Mike said that one investigator on their team at the time went into a trance staring at her before getting sick and running outside, presumably to vomit. And when Mike and Sandra went back in 2022, they used audio recorders, EMF detectors, proximity sensors, and a spirit box. And Sandra, she did a few sessions with Mandy, some in English and one in German, because some sources did say that she was a German doll, but I could not get clarification on that. And they did claim to get video evidence of something touching Sandra's hair. Mandy, she's been said to never have hurt anybody, but she is very childlike. She's cheeky, mischievous. She throws temper tantrums. She plays pranks on employees and volunteers at the museum. She enjoys messing with electronics. She's still on display and can be seen at the museum, and she's pretty damn popular.
Look, I'm not saying she shouldn't be popular. I'm just saying I don't know that my blood pressure can handle being in her presence.
I would go see her. I absolutely would.
You can go see her. I'm going to stand outside the door doing breathing exercises to make sure my blood pressure stays low.
Okay, so what about the other doll, though?
I've been avoiding looking.
The other doll is Okiku, and she is in Japan.
She makes me uncomfortable in the close-up of her face, and I can't tell if it's the picture or the fact that those lines make it look like she was crying.
Yeah, it does kind of look like she was crying in that picture.
So, I don't know. The far away pictures, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
But in the one, the close-up of her face, I am uncomfortable.
So, Okiku, her story starts way back in 1918. And a 17-year-old boy by the name of Akichi Suzuki visited Sapporo in Hokkaido for a marine exhibition. And while he was there, he bought a doll for his 2-year-old sister. And the name varies. Most sources say that her name was Okiku. But some sources said that this 2-year-old girl's name was Kikuko. But regardless, Okiku the doll is 16 inches tall. She's wearing an embroidered kimono. And her hair was in an okapa style, which from what I saw is similar to a jaw-length bob haircut. And it's very popular hairstyle for Japanese dolls of the time. So Akichi brings this doll home, gives it to his little sister, and Okiku loved this doll. It became her absolute best friend. She took it everywhere with her. And unfortunately, a year later, when Okiku was 3 years old, she died from a cold-like illness. Some sources said that she had yellow fever. And
don't like that.
Her family was devastated. They deeply mourned the sudden loss of Okiku. And so they placed her doll on the altar that they had for her in their home. After a while, the family noticed that the hair was growing on the doll. It kept getting longer. And the hair was growing like the doll was a human. Other things were also said to happen. Multiple sources said that the family heard whispering voices, the lights in the house would turn on and off, things would fly across the room, and the family woke up to a small child-sized shadow crying by their bed.
Nope. No.
And when they would try to talk to it, it just disappeared.
Well, maybe you shouldn't be trying to talk to it. Maybe problem number one, don't talk to strangers.
I I would imagine, like, maybe, like, if I wake up in the middle of the night and Annie's in the bedroom and I'm like, oh, no, that shadow looks like my daughter. Oh, God, baby, what's wrong? And then it just, like, vanishes. And I'm like, I'm going back to bed. I'm not doing this. Going back to bed.
Watch me just be like, I'm not doing this at all.
The family allegedly hired a shaman who told them that the doll now housed the restless spirit of Okiku. And the family kept this doll until 1938 when they moved. And according to sources, when they moved, they were worried about moving the doll too far from where Okiku was buried. So they left it with Meninji Temple. And she's still in that temple today. She was named Okiku after her owner. And people believe that the hair that grows from this doll is actually the hair from the deceased child, Okiku.
Oh.
The hair continued to grow even after the doll was moved to the temple. It was said to have grown at least 10 inches after it arrived, and the doll receives regular haircuts. The priest who cares for Okiku's hair claims that the doll sent him a message in a dream, and she asked him to keep her hair trimmed.
I don't know why, but you know how nails make you uncomfortable?
Yes.
Hair makes me uncomfortable.
See, this one I thought was cute, too. It's this one didn't really bother me. But, yeah, it is, like, we're just okay with this, though? Like, this is fine? This is...
You're just cutting a doll's hair weekly? Like, what?
Yeah. I don't...
It's not supposed to have hair that grows.
No. It has been reported that the temple was asked to allow the doll to be taken apart and studied, and they declined. And other sources claim that the hair that the priest had trimmed was analyzed, and it was determined to be the hair of the human child. Both of these are unsubstantiated. I could believe that the temple is like, no, we're not going to let you. You're not taking my doll, bro.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, to me, that's more of a spirituality thing. Like, if they believe that the spirit of this young girl is in this doll.
Right.
Why would they let someone go take it apart to study it?
And also, like, I imagine they told this family, like, yes, we will take care of this for you. So, no, I imagine they're not just going to let you be like, yeah, smash her face and test her hair, see what's going on. No,
yeah.
Seriously doubt that.
I mean, maybe the hair trimmings, I can see them being like, well, we toss that anyway, so go ahead, have at it. But
that's what I thought. Like, I would assume it depends on what they do with that. I don't know. So, I saved the best part of Okiku for last. People who visit Okiku claim that her mouth is slowly opening over time to reveal human teeth. We're both just sitting here, like, whinging.
No.
Like,
oh, God. Yeah,
that's the part. What? I don't like teeth.
Oh, God. I don't like teeth either. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm so uncomfortable. The hair and the teeth. Oh, God.
Oh, I've got goosebumps. Also, like, hair and teeth, are you sure the doll doesn't have a tumor? Have you gotten her tested? Is she okay?
Oh, God. Those cockroaches. I don't know why I'm going back to the cockroaches. That was Mandy. I talked about them with Mandy. Oh, God, I'm so uncomfortable. I'm trying to find an excuse for her to have hair and teeth, and it went to cockroaches. Oh, God.
Ugh. Stop it. You're making it worse.
It's so horrible. Oh.
Yeah, that's Mandy and Okiku, guys.
Hey, I would have preferred Mandy second. I thought you said Sweet One was second, and that did not feel any... That felt worse.
I didn't know you had a hair thing.
I didn't know either until now. Like, my head is actually itchy right now. Like, is this my hair, or is this some other spirit's hair? Like, whose hair is on my head? And also, mine does not grow that quickly, so that's kind of crap.
I would like to know what the trim is, too, because in the picture, she has pretty long hair.
Yeah.
Like, if they said that she had an Okapa style, like, her hair is down to her thighs in the one picture. Well, God. I guess in both pictures, in two pictures.
If you think I'm looking at those again, you're insane.
Oh, I've never stopped. They've been on my computer the whole time, except when I was listening to your story.
That is not down to her thighs.
You're out of your mind.
Oh, well, on one side it is.
Yeah. Like, it looks like she's got layers.
I'm uncomfortable. Okay, I'm posing that again. I'm sorry, I can't. Oh, God, now I see Mandy. Oh, God, okay. Oh, it's just getting worse. What am I doing? Oh, God, there's Dash. Okay. I think I'm safe.
Yeah, I like Mandy. I would bring her home. I would bring both of these dolls home. No, not Okiku, because I don't want to have to cut her hair, and I don't go get my hair cut like I should.
She's going to need dentist appointments. She is going to need dentist appointments.
Oh, I need to add her to the... I would have to add her to the insurance first.
Uh-huh. She's going to need regular dental cleaning. Can't give her any sugar. She'll have cavities. And she's got a small mouth.
We've got straws. Oh, coffee stirrers. Those work as straws.
I was meaning for the dentist. How are they going to clean her teeth?
I'm not her dentist. That's not my problem. That's for them to figure out. Surely they have the little...
But do they have small enough instruments to get into her mouth to clean her teeth?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I was just thinking he has like that little magnifying glass that like clockmakers wear over their eyes or jewelers?
Jewelers. Yeah. Or the eye doctors wear those. They wear some funky glasses to see into your eyes.
Oh, mine had a machine. He didn't use any funky glasses. Or did he? I don't remember. I think he was basically like, you can't see far away. Here's a prescription. Get out. Now I'm like, that's what I thought. That's what I needed. Okay, thanks.
Mine was like, you're blind. Let me look at your eyeballs. And I said, okay, they're in my head. Like, what? I can't take them out.
Yeah, here, let me just pop them out and
go ahead. Have fun.
Yeah. Let me know when you're done. Did you wash your hands?
God, I hope we did. Granted, this is not the same eye doctor I prefer to see, but the eye doctor that I would have preferred to see, he's on a mission. For the church.
Oh, okay. I was like, for gold? Where are we going?
I saw the look on your face for the church.
Okay, sorry. That's probably what I should have thought of, but...
I have to remember that you are not from Utah, so when someone says they're on a mission, you're thinking Mission Impossible. I'm thinking church.
See, even that doesn't make sense, because my cousin's in Thailand doing... Probably not the exact same thing, but, you know, similar.
I don't know. I'm just saying I think he's just in another state, honestly.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, Dr. Brockbank, come back. I need you to look at my eyeballs and give me only a half prescription in my bad eye because you're not going to correct it.
Why won't he correct it?
Well, no one can correct it. It's like, the vision is so bad that he's like, there's nothing we can do to correct the vision to 2020 in that eye. My strong eye not is even 2020.
Like, so not even like LASIK or anything?
No, because it's a lazy eye.
Oh, it's not doing its, it's not pulling its work.
It's not. No. We can talk about that afterwards so that we're not on a tangent.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But do you have anything else? Oh, God, I'm so uncomfortable.
My blood pressure spiked.
I can feel it. My blood pressure has spiked.
Aren't you glad that I threw out my other story and did this one?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what your other story was. I just know that I'm so uncomfortable right now.
I might go back to the other story, so I'm not going to tell you. But this was fun. I enjoyed this. Okay, see, if we wouldn't have procrastinated, I never would have been able to tell you this story.
When she says procrastinated, we were supposed to record this during the week, and it's Saturday.
Yeah. I don't remember what happened, but something happened to both of us, so.
Tuesday, I don't think I felt very well. I mean, it's all over text. We can see what we said to each other. We don't call each other, guys.
Don't call You're me.
Insane. Hold on, let me go back to Tuesday. Oh, I started a project. That's what it was.
Ah, okay, yeah.
It was a baby room moving things around, okay? Mm-hmm. So I started a project.
I think I had an appointment or something.
Yes. And then we were supposed to do Friday yesterday, but I think with the weather, I was sick, and then Lee was sick.
Yeah.
And we just said, screw it, we'll do it tomorrow.
Let's go to bed early, we're doing it tomorrow.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. And then I was awake between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m., wide awake.
That's disgusting.
Uh-huh. I could not fall asleep.
No.
And then we did not make an excuse for tonight. We are here, we are recording, and I think that counts for something.
Yeah, we did it tonight.
We did it, and we'll do it tomorrow.
Yes.
In case you're wondering, we already discussed what stories we're sharing with you guys tomorrow. We cherry pick what we're going to share with you guys.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, thank you all for listening to Hell on Heels Podcast. To see pictures from this episode, you can follow us on Instagram, Hell on Heels Podcast, X, Hell on Heels Pod, or Facebook by searching Hell on Heels Podcast. You can find us on Linktree by typing in Hell on Heels Podcast. If you want to support us, please like, review, share, and subscribe on your preferred listening platforms. If you want to take your support one step further so we can continue to create more content for you, you can donate through Patreon, where we're working to release specials for our patrons. If you have your own true crime or paranormal story suggestions, words of encouragement, whatever it may be, please email us at hellonheelspodcast@gmail.com. Thank you all so much for listening. Be sure to tell your friends to listen with you as well. Bye.
Bye.